The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. He's going to make you an offer you can't refuse. This is Peter Boyles on 710 KNUS.
Continuing the tradition of O Dark 30, even at 6 a.m. as the days slowly and surely get longer, I am Randy Corporan from Saturday Mornings in for Peter Boyles. Peter will be back here on Monday. And after a beautiful week leading up to Christmas, it's just going to get steadily colder. Partly cloudy today, 46. Snow maybe tomorrow night with a high of 44, overnight lows in the upper 20s. And then by Saturday, morning snow, high of 38, low of 21. Sunday we get some sun, but don't warm up past 37 degrees. So, yeah, just bundle up. You probably got a nice coat or some nice sweats. Hopefully you are off for a couple more days. And Kelly Michaels is here, the big boss, making it so that others can have some time off as well.
Buddy, you're sounding better today. I mean, you were a little rough the other last couple of days.
You're talking about the cold.
And yeah, you're sounding great.
Yeah, no, it's
Christmas did you good.
Santa. On the mend.
Yeah.
And Santa's little helper now, our first grandson, promoted to the T-shirt said, in case you're just joining us again, the T-shirt that my daughter put on him, very first Christmas gift that was opened up at our family celebration, said that Santa just promoted me to big brother. So we've got another one on the way. And I really appreciate all the texts and text to studio and everything. Everybody wishing us well. We're very, very happy and proud little family right now. So many ways to reach us, by the way. Phone lines are wide open, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. You can text to studio if you're listening to us on the 710 KNUS app. Just push a button and text away. I read as many of them as I can during the shows, and the only thing I omit are the cuss words. We do get a few of those, you know, the mother's basement dwellers. And hopefully everybody's in a good mood since yesterday was Christmas, because I haven't had any nasty texts yet this morning. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Randy Corporan. There's a Facebook page, Wake Up with Randy Corporan, that relates to our Saturday morning show. And please send me a friend request, because I do love getting the live Facebook messages during the show. I'll read them and respond to you on the breaks and all of that. And I've only got room for 45 more friends, because I think Facebook caps you at 5,000. So when I hit that number, I'll probably cull through and maybe get rid of some folks that I'm really not that well connected with and keep trying to keep that open there. But it's just so fun to be able to connect with you in so many ways.
And your Twitter followers are growing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I noticed you are really just, I mean, it's through the roof.
It's really been fun. Yeah,
wow, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. We're heading toward the goal by the end of the year is 5,000 Twitter followers, too. So 5,000 friends on Facebook, 5,000 Twitter followers. Now, look, this is Donald Trump's about to hit 69 or 70 million Twitter followers. Now, that's a real impact. But for me, if you are scared of Twitter, especially, and this, I hear this so much at Tea Party meetings, at Republican breakfasts, or other speaking opportunities that I have or whatever, people are, I'm just not, you know, I've got a computer and I go on the web, but I'm just not messing. It is so important, but more importantly, it's fascinating. You can get updated news, stories you would never see anywhere else. You have to be a little careful with that. A lot of fake news going around out there. But the most important thing about it is we have an entire media machine arrayed against us. If you are a conservative, if, oh, God forbid, you are a Christian conservative, if you're somebody who loves the national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance and got mad when football players were kneeling on the sidelines, disrespecting our troops and our country. If you're one of those people who believes that life inside the womb should be protected just as aggressively as we protect life outside the womb, unless you're a Democrat and then you only protect illegal aliens, you don't worry too much about the people that get killed in drunk driving crashes and raped and all of the other stuff that goes on. But I digress. The social media, talk radio, social media are the great equalizers. I get that we have Fox News, which is slowly and surely, except for some of the opinion shows at night, becoming more of a lefty-seeming outlet. But we've got OANN and the One America News Network. We've got Newsmax. We've got all the great shows here that Salem puts out. So many different ways to stay in touch. And social media is the key. You can now mobilize people to turn out at a rally at the Capitol or a rally at Jason Crow's office right across the street here or whatever. And within a day, you know, turn out 40, 50, 100 people, just real short notice. The tools of social media are so important. Please, please, please learn them. All right. I had spent an entire hour talking about this Muslim center, city council in Overland Park, Kansas, where my cousin and his grandson were murdered by a white supremacist, has been approved. I talked about my concerns about it. We got some input from, for instance, Chuck in Tulsa talking about the Walmart now in Overland Park, which is really seems to be Islamic dominated. And it all led to Linda Sarsour, who is coming in January for a fundraiser in support of this big Muslim center going up in Overland Park. And I hadn't planned any of that. It was a story that just caught my eye when I got in this morning. And I sure didn't plan to spend an entire hour talking about it, because if I had, I would have lined up some people who know a lot more about this sort of thing than I do. So I did reach out to Robert Spencer. We're not going to have him until Saturday. He'll join us in the 9 o'clock hour when I do a special edition of Wake Up with Randy Corcoran from 9 to noon. And we'll come back around to this story. But I'll just leave it here with regard to Linda Sarsour, affiliated with CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. I had mentioned the Holy Land Foundation trial, where CARE remains to this day an unindicted co-conspirator, an unindicted co-conspirator with the Holy Land Foundation, where over 100 people, 100 counts of guilty were entered for funneling money, more than $12 million through this so-called charity, Holy Land Foundation, funneled over $12 million to the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas. And CARE is connected to the Holy Land Foundation. Linda Sarsour, who was the outspoken woman until she was really taken on by some great conservatives and former Islamists and others. She did the Women's March against Donald Trump right after his election. All of these connections come together and are part of the reason that I'm so very, very concerned when I see something like this big Muslim center going up in Overland Park. But I'm going to table this for now. There's so much else I had planned to talk about with you this morning, including having a little fun, although it creates a very perplexing social issue that we're living in the middle of right now with Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live. But we will revisit this on Saturday on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 9 to 12. We'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour with Robert Spencer. So if you missed any of the first hour, you wonder what I'm talking about. Those podcasts are usually up, even in the holidays. Christmas Eve, they were up within a few hours, so you can go back and check that out. But let's go ahead and bring things forward to where we're at right now. And one of the things that we'll drill down in later hours of the show are going to be, you know, do we want a trial for the president on these bogus impeachment charges, given the fact that we're seeing at least one defection already? We've got Marco Rubio, who's talking about how the FBI was justified in the FISA spying on the Trump campaign. We've got Lisa Murkowski saying that, you know, she's not really very excited about Mitch McConnell saying, we're going to coordinate with the president and set up the kind of, you know, trial and proceedings that they want, which, of course, is being totally mischaracterized. And I don't think McConnell was as careful with his word choices as he could have been. But what he was talking about is we're going to create a system where this time, unlike in the House, the president gets to be heard, too. So we'll dig into all that with Ted Harvey in the 7 o'clock hour and then talk about some real concerns that one of the smartest people I know, Daniel Horowitz from Conservative Review, has about some of the decisions being made in the Trump presidency. That's in the 8 o'clock hour. But right now, let's have a little fun. If you're like me, I'm 60 now, and so Saturday Night Live, when it was great, when it was in its heyday, Dan Aykroyd, Jane, you ignorant slut, against Jane Curtin during the news shows, and just some of those things you couldn't get away with saying now, although I guess Saturday Night Live pushes the envelope, but it's just not funny anymore. Ratings are not great. It still continues. It's a long-standing tradition, but it's so mean and so nasty. But last week, they brought back Eddie Murphy. And, I mean, who doesn't love Eddie Murphy? The movies are just hilarious. And he was great on Saturday Night Live during its heyday. He had not been on this show since 1984. What is that? 35 years since Eddie Murphy had been on Saturday Night Live. And so he came out. He was the featured player, so he came out to do the opening monologue, and he started it off like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Murphy!
It's great to be back here finally hosting Saturday Night Live for Christmas. This is the last episode of 2019, but if you're black, this is the first episode since I left back in 1984. It's been a really long time. Here's actually a picture of me back when I first started. Yeah, I look at least 5 years younger there. Well, you know what they always say. Money don't crack. So much has changed. I actually just had a new baby just about a year ago. That means I have 10 kids now. 11 if you count Kevin Hart. I'm kidding. I love Kevin Hart. I'm just teasing. My kids are actually pretty much my whole life now. And you know what? But if you had told me 30 years ago that I would be this boring, stay-at-home, you know, house dad, and Bill Cosby would be in jail. Even I would have took that bet. I'll tell you, who is America's dad now?
Man, oh man, what a dig at Bill Cosby. And the Bill Cosby people did not take that lying down. And we've got just a little piece of the Bill Cosby dig. I just want you to hear it one more time. Listen to this.
My kids are actually pretty much my whole life now. And you know what? But if you had told me 30 years ago that I would be this boring, stay-at-home, you know, house dad, and Bill Cosby would be in jail. Even I would have took that bet. I'll tell you. Who is America's dad?
I gotta say, I think if had I been watching that and just in a jovial mood, great to see Eddie Murphy up there again, I might have laughed. But then when you think about it, is it really funny? I mean, Bill Cosby, I grew up on the Cosby shows. I watched I Spy as a kid. I had Bill Cosby records of Bill Cosby comedy that would really belly laugh you. And then after the horrible trial and the 3 to 10 year jail sentence that he's serving right now, we learn that this is a guy who would drug and take advantage of women and use his power just unbelievable things that you can't begin to imagine. And is that something we want to joke about? Did you hear just how easily the audience was just, oh, yeah, go get him. You know, Eddie, you're taking out Bill Cosby. Well, I'll tell you, Bill Cosby's publicist, a guy named Andrew Wyatt, did not take too kindly to that. Here's what he had to say. Mr. Cosby became the first black to win an Emmy for his role in I Spy, and Mr. Cosby broke color barriers in the entertainment industry so that blacks like Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, et al. Could have an opportunity to showcase their talents for many generations to come. It's sad that Mr. Murphy would take this glorious moment of returning to Saturday Night Live and make disparaging remarks against Mr. Cosby. Okay, that makes some sense there. You know, you care about this guy. Maybe you don't even believe that he's guilty of all of this. I don't know. Regardless, it's your job. You know, if you're a lawyer, it's your job to aggressively represent even the bad guys if you take one on as a client. Innocent until proven guilty. If proven guilty, you still advocate for a sentence, for a chance of rehab, for a chance of getting back out and getting to work and all those things. I get the job of the publicist. But listen to this. Listen to where he took this. It is sad that Mr. Murphy would take this glorious moment of returning to SNL and make disparaging remarks against Mr. Cosby. One would think that Mr. Murphy was given his freedom to leave the plantation so that he could make his own decisions. But he decided to sell himself back to being a Hollywood slave. Step in, fetch it. I don't even know what that is. Plus, cooning equals the destruction of black men in Hollywood. Remember, Mr. Murphy, that Bill Cosby became legendary because he used comedy to humanize all races, religions, and genders. But your attacking Mr. Cosby helps you embark on just becoming clickbait. Hopefully, you will be amenable to having a meeting of the minds conversation in order to discuss how we can use our collective platforms to enhance black people rather than bringing all of us down together. This is classic leftism. This is classic doublespeak. This is classic BS. Did Eddie Murphy say anything about the color of Bill Cosby's skin? Did Eddie Murphy relate race to this particular? Now, there were other parts where a lot of black comedians came out, people who've been on Saturday Night Live over the years. It's great. I love that. I celebrate that just like I celebrated, even though I didn't like the person, the election of the very first black president in the so-called horribly racist America's history. But this is where this guy had to go. And I should have, maybe I'll do this. We're coming up on a break. Maybe I'll do this during the break. Is I want to look up and see if this publicist is a white man or a black man. How in the world, whether it's tasteful or tasteless, or you're so disgusted with Bill Cosby and the crimes he was convicted of, you don't care. He's fair game. Lay it on him. What in the world made this a racist comment? And then did you hear the words that were used? Mr. Murphy was given his freedom to leave the plantation so that he could make his own decisions, but he decided to sell himself back to being a Hollywood slave. Where in the world does that come from? Leave the plantation. That sounds like Candace Owens talking to young people at a TPUSA event or on her, you know, her new YouTube or podcast or whatever it is. Or it sounds like my good buddy, the Reverend C.L. Bryant, and his movie Runaway Slave, where he really began to expose now 5 or 6 years ago how the Democrat Party has truly and intentionally been keeping black people on the plantation of poverty, of single motherhood, of just so many horrible things. One of the reasons that Donald Trump's popularity among black and other ethnic communities is rising so meteorically is because he's making things better for people. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, blue, 1/1024th Pocahontas, whatever. It doesn't matter. But why in the world would these guys take this to race? And here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go ahead and take our break. When we come back, I saw a clip a couple days ago, and I'm going to go back and dig it up, and we're going to play it. And it's Morgan Freeman, the actor, the black actor, great actor, Morgan Freeman, on 60 Minutes with liberal Chris Wallace's dad, Mike, an ultra, ultra liberal, although they tried to mask it during the early years of 60 Minutes. But Morgan Freeman, you will not believe how he, and talk about way ahead of his time, how he spoke up about how evil it is, how damaging it is, how wrong it is to constantly be dividing people up according to the color of their skin or anything else for that matter. We'll play that as a contrast to this Bill Cosby publicist going there. I just couldn't believe it when I heard it and when I saw it. And we'll get to that when we come back on the other side. It's 6:20 on The Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran here at 710 KNUS.
This is The Peter Boyle Show.
It's a hard living, tail kicking.
Gotta say, at 6:27 on the day after Christmas, I am happy to have bumper music that is not more Christmas carols. Kelly Michaels agrees. We had a little conversation earlier. Is it because it's so much? It just starts so early and it's relentless, you know, for weeks and weeks. So I'm glad that part's behind us as much as I do enjoy them. And I wasn't really exposed to it very much this year. Anyway, it's always fun to move on. So we were talking about Eddie Murphy and this particular joke coming on to Saturday Night Live after, what did I say it was, 16, 20, 35-year absence. And they bring Eddie Murphy on, and this was the end of the first 2 minutes of his opening monologue.
And my kids are actually pretty much my whole life now. And you know what? But if you had told me 30 years ago that I would be this boring, stay-at-home, you know, house dad, and Bill Cosby would be in jail. Even I would have took that bet. I'll tell you. Who is America's dad now?
Yeah, that is rough. If you're Bill Cosby or Bill Cosby's family or people who still support Bill Cosby or whatever, that is a hard shot. And Bill Cosby's publicist came out and pushed back. And a little background, I was reading about this earlier this morning, a little background. Apparently, decades ago, Bill Cosby actually called Eddie Murphy out of the blue. They didn't know each other. They were not connected. Called him and said, you know, it's great, you know, welcome, glad that you're doing comedy, but you're too coarse, you curse too much, and you know, I don't like it, you'll give us a bad name and that sort of thing. And Eddie Murphy said, you know, I was a nobody then. I mean, I was obviously developing some success, but this was Bill Cosby calling me out of the blue and telling me that what I was doing was basically an affront to black people. And he actually told Eddie Murphy that it was going to hurt black people in the long run to have this young upstart who was speaking crudely and using foul language as part of his comedy routine. So that always stuck with Eddie Murphy. And so I'm sure that that is part of the trigger that had Eddie Murphy take that horrendous shot. Imagine being... I don't know if you get to watch Saturday Night Live in jail. You're probably back in your cell by then, although, I don't know, Cosby may have a TV in his cell. Some prisoners do. So if he's sitting there doing his 3 to 10 for rape and for using drugs to drug women and sexually abuse them, and that comes across, can you imagine? I mean, Bill Cosby's, what, 75, 6, 7 years old now? Spending the backside of his life, a good chunk of it, in prison. Absolutely incredible. But the publicist came out and said, Mr. Cosby, first black man to win an Emmy, broke color barriers in the entertainment industry, so that blacks, on and on and on. Some texters to the studio are taking issue with that. We're going to read those in just a second. But the most shocking thing for me for this response from a convicted drugging rapist, or at least his spokesperson, was this. One would think that Mr. Murphy was given his freedom to leave the plantation so that he could make his own decisions, but he decided to sell himself back to being a Hollywood slave. It's just outrageous. It's just outrageous. And so I told you before the break we were going to get this clip, and Kelly's been working feverishly, and we've got it now of Morgan Freeman. I'll play it in just 1 second. But listeners, this is what I love about 710 KNUS listeners. They bring their history, their experience, or maybe their Google, you know, working on their computers while they're listening to bring up very important points. And first texter in this series of texts, unidentified, says, Flip Wilson, Richard Pryor, Red Fox preceded Cosby. Cosby is not the origin of black comics. Somebody else, hi, Randy, love your show. Please look up and see if Richard Pryor predates Bill Cosby. If so, that negates the lawyers or publicists, probably a lawyer, I guess, the lawyer's argument that somehow Bill Cosby was the trailblazer. In my book, Richard Pryor, George Carlin are the two funniest guys who ever lived. Of course, George Carlin was foul-mouthed. Did he now stigmatize white comedians and ruin white comedians for all time? Just like Bill Cosby told Eddie Murphy because he was foul-mouthed that he was going to do damage to black comedians. And this is the context in which Eddie took this very serious shot at Bill Cosby. Let's see. Eddie Murphy was really excellent as well. Bill Cosby, like Bill Clinton, is a serial rapist. And Bill Cosby's using the rape drug GBH makes him even more vile. Thank you. That's Richard, the limo driver. And Bill Cosby's motto, rape away, don't use profanity or you're uncivilized. Isn't that something? Don't you always wonder when people are moralizing at you? What secrets do they have in their closet? People who live in glass houses, right? Anyway, this Morgan Freeman clip, I forgot when it was from. I think it was 2005.
2006.
2006. Thanks, Kelly. 2006. So we've got 13 plus years ago. Morgan Freeman was on 60 Minutes, and there was a very interesting racial question asked by the extreme liberal leftist father of Chris Wallace, Mike Wallace. Here's Morgan Freeman, 2006, on 60 Minutes.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well,
come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
All right, I guess that's it. The so funny. I'm going to start calling you. I know you as Mike.
I know you as Mike.
Oh, that's weird. All right. Anyway, the whole point there is just unbelievable. What if we had been taking the Morgan Freeman view of race relations since 2005 instead of the Barack Obama view of race relations, instead of the Democrat Party view of race relations, where the only way that they win is to create victim groups and victim mentalities and make everybody feel sorry for themselves and not celebrate possibility and achievement and greatness and unity and all of the things that make America the greatest possibility of civilized society that exists on the earth today. What a fascinating commentary by Morgan Freeman. And I got to tell you, this, in my mind, is why Donald Trump is doing so well among all of the different categories that the Democrats and the last president of the United States wanted to continually divide us up into. They get their votes by creating victims, people who need something, people who need help from their government to pay the rent, to eat, to do whatever. They've got to turn to somebody. And listen, I am not disparaging people in need. There is no society that has ever been conceived in the history of the world that is more generous to other countries. Sometimes get you in trouble, you know, Ukraine, military aid, Donald Trump impeachment, little details like that. When some country or some area or some group is hit by catastrophe, the United States of America is always first to the plate with food, with man and woman power, with, see how politically correct I've become? Just, we're the best. And think about, this comes up in campaigns all the time, charitable contributions. Bernie Sanders, a pittance of his millions of dollars that goes to charity. Joe Biden, a pittance of his millions of dollars that go to charity. With Republicans, you'll see tithing to the church. You'll see donations to great causes. And this is a big generalization. I get it. But I've seen these statistics before. I didn't pull one up to give you specific numbers. But clearly, Christians, conservatives, Republicans, people who believe in making their own way and believe in choosing to help other people, far more generous than Democrats, as a rule. Exceptions to every rule. I get it. Let's not get bogged down in that. But what a powerful statement for Morgan Freeman to make. We've got Eddie Murphy taking this huge shot at Bill Cosby, the convicted druggist, drugging rapist. A man who called Eddie Murphy back at the beginning of his career, this icon, calls this newly rising superstar, soon to be superstar, and says, you know, you're going to hurt all of us. By all of us, he doesn't mean you're hurting humanity with your profanity. He doesn't mean you're hurting Americans with your profanity. He meant, Eddie Murphy, you're hurting black people, black comedians with your profanity. And so now we know why Eddie felt somewhat justified in taking that shot back on Bill Cosby. It's so good, and we're coming up against the break, but it's so good. I just want to play it for you one more time. Just think, if this was the philosophy of human beings in America, in Europe, wherever it is, if this was the philosophy, black, white, male, female, heterosexual, homosexual, in transition, I don't care. Let's have this be the philosophy as we start the new decade in 2020 when it comes to how we interact with each other, how we treat each other as human beings. I used to do, and maybe I'll start doing it again. It's more in the summer when it's warm and people are outside more. I'm riding a motorcycle, get to interact with people, not just locked into my car. But I'll tell stories of, you know, walking in or out of a store with my hands full or whatever, and a black woman just holding the door open as I'm coming in, and me saying thank you and you know, God bless you, have a great day. Or the exchange in the elevator with someone who is of another color or another racial group or whatever. And none of us are thinking about, oh, I just talked to a white guy. Oh, that was just a black woman that held the door open for me. Those are just human interactions that happen every day, thousands of times in America. And the left wants to focus on division. Man, Morgan Freeman got it right on 60 Minutes in 2005.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man.
It's just classic. And Chris Wallace is stunned. He doesn't know how to respond. He's talking to a black man who doesn't want to celebrate Black History Month. Instead, asks, where's White History Month? Now, I've done that on the radio before during Black History Month. But these days in the cancel culture, you make that statement. I'll make it again, I'm sure, come February of next year. But for many, man, your business gets doxxed. Your persona gets attacked on social media or whatever if you make a simple common sense statement like that. And one of the great and multiple texters into the show this morning got my attention. He says, Randy, I wonder if Morgan Freeman still feels that way. Hope your Christmas was great, Mike. Mike, on this next break, I'm going to look and see on Morgan Freeman's Twitter account, do a quick Google search, and we'll see if he continues to speak out in this very, very powerful way. Really, really terrific. Good morning to you, Alexa. Great Morgan Freeman clip. Yep, I was so moved by this when I found it yesterday. So we will continue. By the way, looking ahead, 7 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by the Committee to Defend the President, Chairman Ted Harvey. Saw him on Fox News again just a couple of days ago, really doing terrific work. We'll get into whether or not the president should be pushing for a full trial in the Senate. Now that we have senators, at least one so far, starting to show their true colors. We've got Daniel Horowitz from Conservative Review at 8. So a good show ahead. Lots of reasons for you to stick around. You better do it. It's the Peter Boyle Show here on 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply.
When radio counts, count on Peter Boyles.
Got a house down a back road. I got a flag on the front porch. I got a dog named Waylon. I got a driveway that needs paving. I got a boat with a two-stroke. A couple guaranteed to make you laugh jokes. I got friends in low places. Yeah, life is what you make it.
I wonder if we let that play out long enough, if we'd hear about the pickup truck, the dog, the rifle, and my girl sitting next to me with my arm around her. I used to drive a tow truck, so it was always cool. It was a Chevy. I put a 454 big block engine in there, and it chopped the back, so it was a shorty because I could get in and out, get cars out of tight spaces. I did repoing. Yeah, my 20-year excursion into the car business handled all sides, repair, going and getting them when they weren't paid for, whatever. But when I hear a song like that, that's what it makes me think of. Nothing like driving down the road. You know, cars I have now have consoles in the middle of them. There's no way to slide your girl over and put your arm around her. I kind of miss that. But I got plenty of good memories of it from the good old days. All right, so one of the texters wrote in and said, I wonder if Morgan Freeman still feels that way. We played this great clip of his from 2005 on 60 Minutes where he's telling Chris Wallace, Mike Wallace, Chris Wallace's dad, I don't want Black History Month. I don't want you to think of me as a black person. I'm Morgan. I'm thinking of you as Mike. Chris Wallace is, how do we celebrate black? Can we celebrate white history in just one month? Where is White History Month? He said. And all this came up in the context of Eddie Murphy taking the big shot at Bill Cosby on Saturday Night Live, returning to Saturday Night Live after a 35-year absence. And the response of Bill Cosby's publicist saying Eddie Murphy, we'd think he'd be off the plantation right now. Instead, he's a slave from Hollywood. I mean, just incredible, insane, and irrational stuff. So anyway, I went looking for a Morgan Freeman Twitter account, and there isn't one. There's a phony Morgan Freeman, very anti-Trump Twitter account. I did look up a little history. For instance, Morgan Freeman endorsed Barack Obama for president in 2008. Makes sense. I mean, what black leader, black actor especially, unless you were really someone who'd done tremendous homework about Barack Hussein Obama and his ties, perhaps his birth as a result of his mother's relationship with the communist Frank Marshall Davis, and had really spent some time learning about the black separatist ideology of Jeremiah Wright's church that his campaign started on Bill Ayers' living room, the terrorist Bill Ayers, the underground weatherman, police station bombing terrorist, got off on a technicality during his trial terrorist Bill Ayers. Unless you'd done all of that work, of course, like most of America, you'd be excited about this young, charismatic, forward-thinking, it seems, great speech-giving, as long as he's not a stuttering, off-teleprompter mess candidate, Barack Obama. Says Freeman joined President Bill Clinton's USA Bid Committee, chairman and others, to present on the Olympics for the 2022 FIFA World Cup or whatever. I don't know. It's a bunch of confusion there. So I guess the point is, in response to the caller or the texter, is I'm just not sure. He did apparently go on Piers Morgan in 2011 when Piers Morgan was on CNN and accused the Tea Party movement of racism. So that's interesting. I'd love to tell that to one of the great Tea Party leaders in Colorado, Derek Wilburn, who founded the Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party in his backyard, had Ken Buck as his first big speaker in that first backyard event. We used to do some Tea Party events together. He went on to become the vice chairman of the Colorado State Republican Party and is now putting black college students into Congress as aides to conservative congresspeople. Regardless of color, by the way. So I would say maybe Morgan Freeman has gone off the rails, but he certainly had it right when he just shocked and silenced. And it's great that I assume that that aired on TV. It doesn't look like something that was on the cutting room floor. That would be another good question to find out. Did 60 Minutes actually play that segment?
Veterans, are you planning to file a VA disability claim?
Did they actually play that segment of the interview on the 60 Minutes broadcast? It looks like it because, for instance, in Wikipedia, there's some controversy. They call it controversy because Morgan Freeman said he didn't want Black History Month. Anyway, interesting twists and turns this morning, places I didn't expect to go when I got here. We're going to get back to what I normally do, which is politics, impeachment, the big story, the question, should Donald Trump be pushing for his full trial? Donald Trump wants to be exonerated. He doesn't want his case to be dismissed. He doesn't want to just be found not guilty. He doesn't want to be just, given an acquittal. He wants a full exoneration. And I thought that was a good idea when I first heard it. I've heard a lot of powerful speakers and pundits saying, yes, now's the time. Bring in the whistleblower. Bring in the Bidens. Bring in Shifty Adam Schiff. Put them all under oath and let the American people see it. You know what? The American people aren't paying that close of attention. They are already moving on from impeachment. The polls show it. The fundraising for Republicans and the president show it. And what you will hear when we come back, we'll tee this up for Ted Harvey, the chairman of the Committee to Defend the President, is Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, listed as a moderate Republican. I'd say she's a Democrat wearing an R. But she is expressing concern about Mitch McConnell and how he tends to approach any kind of Senate trial if the impeachment articles ever make it over there. And so we'll play that for Ted Harvey and for you when we come back on the other side. Don't forget Daniel Horowitz from Conservative Review in the 8 o'clock hour as well. I'm Randy Corpin. We're going to make it. We're going to get this voice back together on this break and pick it up with Ted Harvey when we return. So don't go anywhere. Halfway through the Peter Boyle Show, Randy Corpin here on 710 KNUS.